My dearly beloved in Christ, the visitation of our Blessed Mother to her cousin Saint Elizabeth is, of course, the topic of meditation for the second joyful mystery of the Rosary. And it is a wonderful feast of our Blessed Mother in which we reflect upon her virtues and particularly her charity, her humility, her strong and profound faith. And I'd like to go through each of these virtues. Let us begin with the virtue of faith. Notice after Elizabeth said to our Blessed Mother, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, at the sound of thy greeting, the babe in my womb leapt for joy." So after Elizabeth said these wonderful words of praise to Our Lady, she then went on to say, "And blessed art thou that hast believed, because the things spoken to thee by the Lord shall be accomplished." So Elizabeth was praising Our Lady's faith. Blessed art thou that hast believed. And that is in contrast to the lack of belief on the part of Zachary, Elizabeth's husband. Zachary was a priest, and he was in the temple offering incense 6 months before when the archangel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that his wife would bear a child. Now, Elizabeth was childless. She was barren. She was also well beyond the normal age of childbearing. She was elderly. And so Zachary doubted the words of the angel that his wife would conceive and bear a child. And as a punishment, he was made dumb, unable to speak. And Zachary was dumb throughout the pregnancy of his wife, and he was only able to speak after the birth of St. John the Baptist, when he wrote, or when he was asked what his name should be. And now he was able to speak and said, "His name shall be John." And so our Blessed Mother never doubted the words of the angel. The Archangel Gabriel appeared to her and told her about the wonderful privilege that was hers to be the Mother of God. And Our Lady said, "How shall this be done?" She was not questioning or doubting the will of God or the power of God, but she just was asking, "How shall this be done?" So Our Lady again never wavered in her faith. And that is why Elizabeth praised her, "Blessed art thou that hast believed." Now, St. Louis Marie de Montfort lists one of the 10 principal virtues of our Blessed Mother as her profound faith. And he says that those who are totally consecrated to our Blessed Mother share in her faith. This is one of the effects of living true devotion, that we receive a share in Our Lady's faith because, says St. Louis, now that she is in heaven, she no longer needs her faith. We need faith here on earth. But the just in glory see all things, understand all things by the light of glory, and have no more need of faith. But we do. And this is an age of terrible loss of faith. So how important it is for us to have a strong faith. And our Blessed Mother shares her faith with us as a result of our devotion to her. So that's the first virtue I would like to mention in the visitation, is our Blessed Mother's tremendous faith. The second is her humility. We see a wonderful example of Our Lady's humility. Saint Elizabeth says these wonderful words of praise to Our Lady, and yet she was not the least affected by vanity, by pride. On the other hand, she gave all the credit to Almighty God. And she said that beautiful canticle, which we call by the first word in Latin, Magnificat, "My soul magnifies." Magnificat anima mea Dominum. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him, etc. This prayer the Magnificat, is the most profound of the canticles in the Bible. And St. Louis Marie de Montfort also mentions in his book True Devotion that those who have a great devotion to our Blessed Mother should pray the Magnificat, Our Lady's Prayer. Our Lady said this prayer inspired by the Holy Ghost. Note that she gave all the credit to God, and she even goes on to say, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Why? Because he who is mighty has done great things to me. She again gave all the credit to God, but she did not fail to acknowledge that all generations shall call her blessed. Down until the end of time, the praises of our Blessed Mother are sung throughout the church because of her excellence, her virtues, her wonderful privileges, her holiness. Greater than all the saints combined, the sanctity, the excellence of our Blessed Mother. All generations shall call her blessed. But this did not cause our Blessed Mother in the least to become proud. And the sin of pride consists in not giving credit where credit is due, taking credit to ourselves for the good that we are able to accomplish. Without the grace of God, we can do nothing but sin. That is the only thing we do that God has no part in, our sins. And that is certainly not anything to be proud of. So Our Lady gives us an example of humility. And I would like to recommend that you say that prayer, the Magnificat. Many people have the custom of using it for their thanksgiving after Holy Communion as a prayer of thanksgiving, a beautiful canticle. So we see Our Lady's faith, we see her humility in this mystery of the Visitation, but more than anything else, we see Our Lady's charity. And what you notice here is that nobody asked Our Lady to go and visit Elizabeth. She went of her own accord because the angel said to Our Lady, after saying to her, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. The angel went on to say, for behold, nothing is impossible with God. For right now, your cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy. So that is the first word Our Lady had that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant. Elizabeth lived some 90 miles away in Judea. Our Blessed Mother was in Nazareth, in Galilee. And travel in those days was very difficult, strenuous. Nevertheless, Our Lady, as soon as possible, probably within the next few days, left her home and made that long journey to the home of Elizabeth because she knew that Elizabeth would need help. She was elderly. She'd never borne a child before. Note the promptness of our Blessed Mother. Note her willingness to help without even being asked. And this is where charity is seen. Yes, we should be willing to lend a hand when asked, but we also should anticipate the needs of our neighbor, where we will help out those in need without even being asked. We should review from time to time the corporal and spiritual works of mercy to make certain that we are fulfilling them, that we are worthy to be called disciples of our Lord, who said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. And this charity is even more important because we live in an age where the hearts of men have grown cold, where charity, true charity, is fast disappearing. Even simple civility in discourse. Many of you, no doubt, have used the internet, social media, and from time to time I'll read an article where they have comments underneath it. And it shocks me the viciousness that people will have with things that they put up there, the vile language, the hatred, the loss of even a common sense of civil discourse. And this reminds me of the words of our Lord spoken in the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. We read this gospel on the last Sunday after Pentecost. And I want you to note as I read it just in a few verses, that our Lord twice mentions the hatred that would exist in the latter times. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will lead many astray. And because iniquity will abound, the charity of the many will grow cold. But whoever perseveres to the end, he shall be saved. So notice this hatred. Why are we hated? Because the Catholic Church teaches the truth, and many do not want to hear it. And let's be very clear and let's be honest. Why is there such a hatred towards the church and then consequently to those who are members of the church and are striving to live the teachings of the church? It ultimately goes back to the sin of lust. Lust in all of its wicked forms. And so many poor people in the world are so addicted and attached to their sin that they hate those who are opposed to sin. Note what our Lord says, because iniquity abounded, the charity of many will grow cold. One of our parishioners mentioned to me a few weeks ago, he went to an abortion clinic in Spokane, Planned Parenthood, and carried a sign there opposing abortion with a woman who faithfully turns up there every week protesting abortion. And there were a group of feminists shouting at them, those who were the small group protesting abortion. A group of feminists shouting, "You can't tell us what to do," and using again the most vile words. And he said to me, he was shocked at the hatred that they have. And this is something we must get used to realize. As our Lord said, "You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Because of this attachment to abortion and the various sins that are so common in the world, that is why there is a hatred towards the church and to those who adhere to her teachings. So we see the opposite, of course, in our Blessed Mother, her wonderful charity to her cousin Elizabeth. And let us remember that we must love souls, even those who are sunk in the depths of vice. We pray for their conversion. What did Our Lady say at Fatima? So many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and make sacrifices for them. To the concern for souls, the salvation of souls, this is the highest charity of all, to pray and work for the eternal salvation of souls. You can help someone temporally, but the greatest charity is to convert a sinner, to earn the graces by your prayers and sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. So let us all strive to imitate our Blessed Mother. Reflect today on her wonderful virtues, especially her humility, her strong faith, and her wonderful charity for her neighbor. Not even being asked, but anticipating the needs of her cousin and giving all of us a wonderful example of the excellence of this virtue of charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.